You get three handouts, and you had one from last class and one from the class before. So you should have the thinker, and your thinker and the emotional intelligence specialist, or the creative idealist emotional intelligence specialist, got in the last two weekends.
Now, do you want those other two up?
Yeah, bring them out because what I want you to do is I want you to use these. And I want to go through them so you know how they work, because it doesn't matter whether, I mean, almost all of you are doing some form of practicum right now, and being able to have an idea how you are supposed to or how you can work with these dynamics. You know, what the traditional way of a bioenergetics person to do this, along with along with some racisms, is in this a really full description of personal history, so that you can sort of read through kind of like where this person is. And what I'd like to do is just some of you, if you so who's got a practicum person that's obviously one that you know what their profile probably is.
I have a pretty good idea. I am a little confused, though, because she seems to have two.
Okay.
We'll keep her with a Carmi.
Okay.
You know, in there.
Okay, so this is a tricky one. A rule keeper with a poor me. How does that happen? And let's ask our rule keepers.
I don't know how that could possibly happen.
Yeah. So a rule keeper with poor me, I would start sniffing around for enforcer.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Right. Enforcers can be incredibly rule keepery. It's the way it's going to be, and that's how it is. And they look, and it's just like, and they control everything, and they do it. They can do it from a very rule keepery way, so they don't look like they're trying to be in control. They just have rules. But if they have a huge poor me quality, rule keepers don't. Right? I mean, it's not that you can't get that a combination. I can't even remember when I've seen it last. Now, there's thinker, poor me. Okay, but that's a very dissociative thinker, rule keeper quality, not a powerful one. If you're really feeling, well, first of all, do you feel threatened?
I don't.
You don't feel threatened. Okay, so boundaries are good.
Yes, boundaries are excellent.
Okay, and then why do you say that there's a poor me in there?
Well, she's a psychic and has this big heart. She's a therapist, and a psychic therapist, and so she seems to have a lot of like compassion and insight for other people and what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems very contained. You know, she just seems very appropriate.
Okay.
So that's, you know, but she doesn't have a huge charge, like a big, you know, come into a room.
Right. I mean, remember, there's lots of charismatic leaders. But
she's
got the
leader enforcer who doesn't present that.
Right. Yeah, they don't. I mean, it depends on how they've managed it. And Suzanne's primarily, she's got the creative idealist. I mean, she's that charismatic leader is how she operates on the planet, but her purpose. So, you may be looking at. And does anybody know does anybody know a psychic that isn't an enforcer?
That is not.
I mean, a thinker. You could have thinker psychics, but it's basically there's nothing more powerful than being able to say, I'm talking to your guides and you're not. So it's a what?
Judgmental.
Oh no, but hey, if I could do it, I'd be there. But understand.
Yeah, but you don't consider me an enforcer.
Hmm? I don't consider you a primary enforcer, no. So but you have it in there. It's definitely in there. It's definitely, you know, behind your team player, not far, you know, but it's in there. So just understand, who can read your body better than you can? An emotional intelligence specialist or a charismatic leader? The emotional intelligence specialist goes in to find out how they can get you to love them. The charismatic leader goes in to figure out where you're dangerous. Okay? And so the ideal person to read your body about what's going on psychically and in and out of your system would be the charismatic leader. They're going to go in and go, "Oh, well, look at that huge thing. We're going to get that the hell out of there, and we're going to, you know, we're going to see." And they go into your energy field because that's what they do naturally. Charismatic leaders are natural psychics. They know, and even, you know, I mean, you think about the charismatic leader warrior. They walk onto a battlefield. They're not going, "Oh, gee, I'm seeing your past life." They're going, "I killed you in a past life, and here it is again." You know, and you still got the same weakness. You know, I don't know why. I know you got a weakness right there. And they read the field. Where's the danger? Immediately, they are psychically reading the field. They read from the third chakra. They're third chakra psychics. Okay, they call it out of here, but what they're really doing is they're just reading protection.
I have a question. What if you have someone who I personally think is a primary thinker,
mm-hmm.
but they do their life so rule-keeper-y but then when they're in trauma and everything, they automatically associate with the thinker, and I think that's their primary. How do you work with someone who possibly, if they come into themselves, will have to realize that, you know, thinker is their primary, not just like set safe rule keeper light?
Okay, so what you want to work, so let's, we'll start, we'll pick another one. So let's go to,
a couple more things to add.
Yeah. Yep.
She has Lyme disease.
Okay.
And when I did a reading on her with the pendulum,
yep.
Her first, second, third, fifth, and seventh chakras were just flat.
Mm-hmm.
So the only ones that had any...
First, second, third, and... one, two, three, and five?
One, two, three, five, and seven were...
We're like, "I'm not talking to you."
Right.
Okay.
And the others... the fourth and the sixth had some action, but
okay. Well, this is action. How big were they?
Right.
How wide were they?
Two.
Just twos, and then the fours were bigger, or everything was a two.
A little bit bigger, yeah.
Okay. I am sure there are you know, strong rule keepers that also, you know, that also have, you know, have done some work. And have opened, because the rule keeper totally lives with the sixth chakra. And they are a sixth chakra psychic. But when the sixth chakra is really open with the seventh, it's not that they're just seeing psychically, they're seeing like this huge big picture, you know, of how things work. And you know, she may be there. If she's connecting her psychic with her heart, you know, that's good. Now, the question was, why did all the rest of the stuff go no touchy? You know, so that could be her. I would guess... rule keeper with a little charismatic leader behind it. Okay, so what you're reading is poor me is an enforcer, which is, and you'll get rule keepers and cares, you know, knowledgeable achiever, charismatic leaders. You'll get them, you know, that combination is a very strong combination. Okay, and it's actually, they need each other to be to really be successful.
My person took the test.
Mm-hmm.
They came up poor me. Rule keeper even, and like the enforcer was like five.
Right. So if you have your client take the test, remember that if their lowest score is a charismatic leader, you know, unless they're a thinker and they're just like, "I would never do that," chances are good they're, you know, if they've got lots in everything but the charismatic leader,
right,
they're a charismatic leader.
Okay.
because by
The rule keeper in five, you know.
Often they won't consider themselves thinkers at all. It's like, no, I wouldn't do that. But the other ones, you know, I feel so deeply, I take care of everybody, and I have everything, I love the rules, you know. And so they do all of those elements. But, yeah, and so then you ask about their life, you know, how... who do you do battle with? What's going on? And you ask them what's going on, and the charismatic leader will be either in battle with themselves or in battle with others. Okay, so what's the presenting complaint?
Fatigue.
Okay.
Fatigue, her work doesn't, you know, working two jobs, doesn't have any time for herself, stressed about finances.
Right. Okay. So you've probably got a charismatic leader that's protecting herself with a rule keeper. Okay? And so what would, you know, so the basic, other than doing the healings, the basic element of what you're going to be doing with your clients is reminding them to be in their core. To be, you know, so if you can define what their profile is, you can really help them by saying, you know, for someone like that, like for instance, when I met Margaret, she thought she was a rule keeper. Huh? She's an enforcer. So now she grew up in a family of engineers. Everybody in her family, 8 children, went to engineering school. The dad was an engineer. They all graduated from engineering school. And so they all thought they were rule keepers. They're all kinds of stuff, but they're mostly charismatic leaders in there. Because the mom was the hidden charismatic leader. She was the one that just took care of each kids and never, you know, didn't even drive, just took care of the kids. And played team player. But she had that real juice, that real power. And so they picked that up subtly and they weren't allowed to express it. Okay? I mean, the boys were allowed to a little more than women, but you know, when she understood that so the healing of that was, what do you want to do? How much fun do you want to have doing what you're doing as opposed to, you know, doing it this way? And when she realized that she was already doing that, but then putting herself down about it, that was where she made the shift and really started loving what she does, being bigger than life. Okay, so we had, what was the other one? So look at the charismatic leader on there, and maybe do some of those exercises with her. And let me rephrase that. If you've got someone that honestly believes that they're a rule keeper and they live in that place, work with them as a rule keeper first. Allow them, you know, it's what we do with you. When you come in, you know, we will point to you where you ought to go, but we will deal with you. If you have got a hidden secondary, we're going to go with you. If you're in a place that you need to be supported and feeling like that's who you are, you do have that. It's not that she doesn't have a rule keeper in there. If she's really diligent and driven and exhausted from overworking and all that stuff, that's all rule keeper stuff. And you can say, okay, so read the rule keeper section. Well, how do you deal with the rule keeper? Okay, how do you soften them up? Well, with a rule keeper, you got to get them to feel more. Okay, but the cool thing is that she's a charismatic leader underneath it, so she feels a ton. So you want to get her to feel her passion. And then shift it to the charismatic leader and say, wow, you've got more charisma. You know, this is, you really need to have more passion in what you do. Okay, all right. Anyone else? So we had a thinker here.
A thinker really does act like a rule keeper and everything, but their body, their eyes, their fears, their ungroundedness and this kind of thing is very thinker-like. So I personally think they do rule keeper so that they can be in this world and they're truly thinkers. But that most of the reasons why she's having issues is that she then tries to work with her defenses as a rule keeper, not as her primary core.
Right.
And when she tries to think that she's in her core, she does it as a knowledgeable achiever, and it's, you know, creative idealist is really your...
Perfect.
Core. Yeah. Yeah, so it's kind of a female version of you.
Right.
Yeah. I wasn't sure how you worked on coming to terms with that you were not really a knowledgeable achiever as your primary thinker and still then felt safe in this world, because, of course...
Well, I can speak for me in that situation, but generally, thinker rule keepers. I mean, we're talking defense.
Yes.
Thinker rule keepers, and rule keepers come rule keeper thinkers.
Okay,
they come flat. You know, pure creative idealist thinker. Okay. You know, where they're just not connected to anything on this planet. Okay. Or they have thinker rule keeper who are scientists. Okay? Our scientists are thinker rule keepers. They've got this, you know, sort of like they want to be connected to this stuff, but they want it just so. And they protect and they keep themselves on the planet that way. Okay? And then you have rule keepers who are, you know, accountants and they run businesses and they organize people and they're managers and they're, you know, they do that. And then there's rule keeper thinkers who are create, they're creating a new product. every month, you know, new, or every year, they're coming out with a new, they start a new business, they do this, so they've got this really creative quality that has to be driven into a product, okay? Thinkers generally are going to use the rule keepers to bring some stuff down, but it's only going to be the smallest amount. The rule keeper thinker is going to create a ton of things, okay? And when they own that they're a primary rule keeper, they'll realize it's what I produce that makes the most important. And when they're a thinker primarily, it's what I'm thinking, it's my creative process that's the most important.
Okay, that helps.
Okay?
So you're a rule keeper thinker.
I'm a thinker, rule keeper, enforcer. I got a lot of stuff under there. But basically, when I come in, the way I operated, because I vowed to be more like my mom, was the safe place to be is figuring it out and knowing how it works. The problem was that when I actually looked at my life, it's not very organized. So I'm like, I can't really be a rule keeper. You know, there's really no structure there at all.
Except that. On the page, you have picking out the for me EIS, and it should say picking out.
Yeah, there's some. Okay. Yes. There's some typos on these. Sorry.
Hence, you're not the real people.
Hence, the right there. Yes. Yeah. Any other questions on people? Yes.
My dad keeps wanting to work on his third chakra.
What's the work on his third chakra?
Fears. But that doesn't sound like it.
How does he present? What's his body shape? What's his?
Definitely. I thought it was a little deeper. You know, it's all very athletic, very, you know, everything's so.
Good. But he's got anxiety.
Yeah.
So he would be the rule keeper. Where she's got the thinker rule keeper, you got the rule keeper thinker.
They'll have anxiety.
They'll have a lot of anxiety because they know they're supposed to have everything perfect and under control. But they dissociate when they're really under stress.
Okay.
But they keep themselves in a constant stress situation. Whereas a normal rule keeper just deals with stress. They just go, and never even, it's just like, that's what I do. I push myself to my edge. I never go over it because I'm a rule keeper. I know where my edge is. But I would never do any less than that. Whereas the rule keeper thinker is going to go to their edge, and when they get close and when they get exhausted, they get, you know, tired of things, they'll dissociate. And dissociating for a rule keeper where you can't manifest is terror. So what do you do with them? You want to ask him, how can he be more creative? I mean, with rule keepers, you're trying to get him to feel.
Right.
Bubble baths, massages, you know, have him, you know, play the bowls, have him feel. Say, I'm going to work on your third chakra. The way we're going to work on your third chakra is we're going to hug. Okay? And I want you to feel my third chakra, because you have a naturally huge third chakra and warm and nurturing third chakra. What's it like to just feel that? That would be a bioenergetics for that person. Okay? Can you feel that grounded peace? And now he's going to be like, I'm not feeling any, you know, just say, stay with it, breathe into it. And so you're trying to get him to feel the third chakra rather than fix my third chakra so I can go back to work.
Right.
And not be nervous. Okay? So that would be an example of that's very common presentation of that. So you can work with him on both. His primary will be rule keeper, so you want to get him to feel and to pace himself. Rule keepers love to pace themselves once you tell them it's okay. Okay? It's like, oh, really? I can go at this pace? You know, they make an assumption that they have to go at their maximum speed all the time. And they need to take, they all have to put in their schedule. Rule keepers have to put in their schedule to relax. Okay? Right, and just notice how he operates in his world. I mean, I loved sports. I loved all that activity, and whether it was my competitive tennis was an ideal thinker game because it wasn't actually contact sport. You know, it was a thinker game. You had to think it through. It was very active. It was very alive. So my charismatic leader, rule keepery side got to play and compete, but it wasn't, you know, where. And then the martial arts was where I was really challenging my fears around contact. And you know, coming into more of my charismatic leader, which I really wasn't that good at either, so.
Is there an EIS page?
Yeah, you should have gotten it the second weekend.
Last weekend.
Last weekend, you got it as a handout.
I have someone who has totally and emphatically said she's an enforcer,
very not clear. No ifs, ands, or buts.
So she's took the test and says that's what I am?
But she's not.
So is she a team player?
No. Well, I'm torn between team player and for me, because the first 10 minutes we're together, I care about all the litany of all the horrible things that happened to her.
Right.
So I'm thinking, oh, you're so not a...
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
No, don't be fooled by, yeah. by see, poor me enforcers are incredibly, I mean, they take poor me and they like put it like up here. You know, it's like they it's like you haven't seen complaining. You know, I'm not only gonna complain, I'm gonna create an ailment that will guarantee you have to take care of me.
Right, and she has colon cancer, so.
Okay. Well, now no.
Okay.
So I didn't know that.
Okay.
When someone's in a crisis like that, of course they're going to be in poor mood. I mean, it's a natural, whatever their defense is, you're getting ready to die and you don't know, and you have no place to go. You're going to have to deal with that. I'm overwhelmed by just life itself. And if they're, and so you want to see the level of blame.
Okay.
Okay. So the charismatic leader is going to blame others for why I am the way I am.
Oh, okay.
They need to blame. The rule keeper is going to take it on themselves. Something I did. I need to fix my. You know. The poor me will just be exhausted. Just I don't even have anything. You know. I don't even know what to do. I need. I just need. And then the team player is really never gonna stop taking care of other people right till the dying day.
They
worry about everybody. They go in and get chemotherapy, and they're helping the other person. They're like, and it's like, you need to rest. No, I'm good. Let me help. I got my kids are getting off the bus. You know, it's like. Okay, so that's where she goes.
Stopping anything. I mean, and taking care of herself. She's still doing all the stuff that she did. She's not asked her husband to step up or.
Okay, well then, okay, so for everybody, if you can't figure out the person, what's the husband like? Have you asked her about her husband? What is he like?
I think he's a for me. I think her husband is a for me.
Okay, that would make her...
He's taken the cancer look what's happening to me.
Okay, so that would make her a rule keeper, playing a team player, which is very common.
Okay.
Rule keepers, you know, the best thing for a woman to be is the most giving person in the world, never let down. If she's never letting down, that's a rule keeper activity. I mean, not that the team players don't, but rule keepers give, like, they do. The team player, it's just an opportunity, it's like they just can't focus on themselves.
Okay.
And so they're going through this whole thing, but they're helping out other people. The rule keeper never breaks the rule keeper will not break their pattern. They'll get sick and keep going because that's the right thing to do.
Okay, well that makes more sense. Okay. Maybe I can't see the rule keeper in her because I'm seeing the team player when she's at my house.
But there's an endurer quality to the team player too, so there's that. They just keep going. They take. So, you know,
good.
You got to stay with that.
I've seen a lot of different people, though, in the dying stage.
Yep.
Just, you know, it's like almost a denial thing.
Right.
You know,
they keep going.
Doing everything they do right mm-hmm. from the end.
Right.
So it seems to be common.
It's common, and depending upon what profile they're coming from, the key is, even if they can only remember their core for 5 minutes before they die, you have done them an amazing service. Okay? So by figuring out whether it's really coming where that drive is coming from enforcer or from her rule keeper or from her team player, working with that. And so if you can't figure them out, look at their, you know, talk to them about their husband, you know, and their spouse. If he's truly a poor me, or, you know, a team player, poor me, you know, you can pretty much put her in one of those strong categories. She is not, you know, if she's a team player, the team players are just not attracted to poor me's.
Okay?
They just aren't. It's not a combination you'll see on this, you know, very often on this planet. So you're going to be dealing with, if he's truly a poor me, you're dealing with one of the stronger characters. Okay, and it's very common for rule keepers if that team player is just a driven, organized, you know, team player. Ask about how she takes care of her kids. How does she, you know, how does she manage her affairs? Does she do work? What kind of work? What kind of work does she do? Did she do?
Charity.
Okay, that's our charismatic leader. I mean, yeah, pretty much. If she's in charge of it at all, if she's a worker bee, that's not. But if she's in charge of a fundraising, that's a sales job. That's charismatic leaders love fundraising. Okay. You never have to work.
Right,
and you're managing tons of money. Right. It's like a fantastic job. It gives them. It's the most prestige. You know, when you're working with the richest of rich people. You're taking them out to lunch. You're wining and dining. That is a spectacular charismatic leader job. So she's got a strong charismatic leader that drives. So what would it be like for her to feel that aliveness, that power in her? Because the poor me charismatic leader will. You know, when a charismatic leader is in poor me, they absolutely don't feel like they have anything. I'm nothing. I'm worse than nothing. And so, bringing her back to what do you love? What are you passionate about? You know, do you need to take a do you need to take a trip? You know, do you want to go? You know, do what is it? What is it that you can be passionate about? And you might find that the husband's actually a little more team player than poor me. You know, if she's got that. So you want to kind of hunt those things down. This is just general. But I want to give you some guidelines when you're working with these people how to ask the questions. And so read in here about the charismatic leader. Okay? And then also read about the team player. Because if she's been playing a team player, charismatic leaders play team player too. But they do it in a very protective way. Okay? You know, I mean, the Tony Soprano is the charismatic leader with a team player second, right? Oh, yeah. I mean, super charismatic leader, but basically it's like anybody who works for me is totally protected. You mess with my family, you're dead. I mean, that's the ultimate. And so you start looking at how do they blend, and the primary will, the defender, the protector in a charismatic leader is obvious when you ask him those types of questions. Okay? How do you...
So what do you say? Because my concern, sitting down with a person who I've never met, is asking them all those really personal questions when they don't even know me. I feel a little invasive.
Well, just talk then.
Okay.
Tell me about your life. Tell me about your kids. Tell me about your, you know, what goes on. You know, you're not questioning. You're not a therapist in doing this, and this is important for all of you. You're just having conversation, but in that conversation, you can find out. Tell me about your husband. I mean, this must be hard on him. You know what happens? How's he dealing with it? How are you dealing with this? You know, this is as a healer, it's okay for you to talk about the illness, whereas they're not going to have that place to talk about it elsewhere, and how that illness directly is being dealt with by them. How are you doing? Are you dealing with the doctors? And then you'll find out. You know, the rule keeper, when they're having cancer, it's like I go to every meeting. I never miss anything. I'm always on it. I never miss. And I am going to beat this because the system works 83% of the time. Well, I'm going to be one of those 83.
Our appointments are already scheduled out because I'm scheduled in with all that other stuff that she has going on.
Right.
So works for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfectly. And so you've got rule keeper with charismatic leader behind, you know. So what are the chances that you got a rule keeper charismatic leader? You know, it's gonna be a mirror for all of you somehow. How what are the chances? You know, that Maria's got a thinker. You know?
I have a pleaser.
And you have what?
I have a pleaser.
A team player. Yeah. So you've got to have someone that mirrors one of these behaviors you do, or there'll be someone that balances with your profile.
Because I was talking to you, like, I'm feeling a little frustrated because I have a enforcer rule keeper.
Right.
You know, enforcer being primary, and rule keeper keeps it so organized.
Right.
And it was
so. What's the mirror for you? So what's the mirror? What are you seeing as a mirror?
Well. On the outside, she seems put together and everything's hunky-dory fine, and she doesn't let a lot in.
Mm-hmm.
So she you know, she, though she says, oh yes, I have this going on, yeah, I would like to have these healings to help me with these things, and it was to lose weight, and that was her main thing, and about nutrition and being motivated to exercise. And then she comes in the next week, she's got a flow chart, she's got, you know, she's totally, said, you don't need me for this, you know.
Right.
So, but yet she presented with other things that, oh, my doctors can't figure out this, that, the other thing. And then she asked me questions that were more my profession than actual healings.
Right. Okay, so that sounds like Rootkeeper.
Yeah, but she was very, she's, when we talk to her, though, about her family, she's more involved with her family, and she knows what, you know, this is what you'll be doing, and she's created, she's a singer, and she's also part of, she creates that with, that's where her energy is and her passion, singing, acting, and,
mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, when you have a, you know, Rootkeepers can also be very, you know, acting or singing, you know, they'll, yeah. But they'll do it for perfection rather than because they just, it brings them their passion.
Yeah.
So the mirror for you, though, is that you've lived through your secondary as a Rootkeeper.
Yeah.
So for primary isn't a rule, you know, you've drawn someone to you that's living through their Rootkeeper.
Right.
And so for you, it's feeling your feelings. For her, it may be feeling more of her passion, you know, more of that juice of really influencing.
When I asked her what her priorities are, it was family, health, love, last.
Hmm.
So we talked about that.
Okay. So perfect person for you to heal. I love first.
That's what we talked about. I said, well, why did you pick that? You know, why is that the order? And she said, I said, why is it the order for you?
Right.
So we talked about that, and I said, well, what if I said that maybe love should be first before the other two?
So yeah, she'll think you're crazy. Yeah. So you need to have her, yeah, you need to have her. Right, right. That would put her in defense. So you just start with how to get her into her feelings. Because if she has a charismatic leader secondary, she'll be able to, like we talked about that, she'll be able to get into her feelings. And also you want to get them, one of the funnest things for charismatic leaders is rage.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, and you can say, who do you say fuck you to? You know? Or when you, or they'll be saying, well, I'm just having this little issue with this person, and you can say like, oh, I bet you just want to say fuck you to them, and they go, yeah, I really fucking do, you know, and then when you make it okay, then that sort of enforcer kind of quality, because they, enforcers love fuck you, you know, that's just love.
But they don't need permission.
They don't need, but no, but if they're a rule keeper protecting their enforcer, they don't ever say fuck you.
But when
they protect that very, you know, they never want to be seen as that part of them. That's the dirty part of their secret.
But when I have her on the table, I mean, she will, pendulum is like, it's really shut down. I mean, it's stop. I mean, maybe wiggling and,
yep.
Or we talked about that,
right.
Where in the will side of her second chakra, it would go back and forth, but that would be all I'd have. That's
right.
All I got.
Yeah. So that's highly protected. Just as you go along, try to do some energy work, like stomping. No, yes, do some of the bioenergetics type of stuff. You know, yes, jumping up and down, get her moving before she gets on the table. Because if you just talked about stuff, if she's a charismatic leader hidden behind the rule keeper,
yeah.
She's manipulating language so much. There's nothing going on besides, I'm just talking about this. I'm controlling you with the back of my, you know, I'm controlling feelings,
yes.
Here.
And I know that's happening.
So, get her moving. Have something fun, do some kind of game, do the hand slaps with her, something that's going to trigger that competitive sort of like, I'm going to win side.
Okay.
Pull the towel. Get a towel. Get it away from me.
Like,
you know?
Tug of war.
Yeah, a little tug of war. You know, these are things, you know, you can do those other things. It's, you know, just before you get them on the table, just say, one of the things I like to do with my client before they get on the table is bring up their energy. You know? So it's, you know, so that. Yes. All right. So anybody else? Yes.
Well, as you're talking to Victoria, so somebody who would be surfacing, they would, as you're asking the questions, and they're kind of just like, no, that's fine. Oh, no, that's great. That's great. And then more, like, because my client, too, I could see, like, that seductive enforcer quality in her.
Mm-hmm.
But she tends to not try to not go deep.
Right, so how does she...
So she's more, same thing, like wants to lose weight, feels like she has no energy or motivation. She feels like under-motivated.
Right.
And,
And so you want to ask about with charismatic leaders, ask about depression. Rule keepers never have depression.
Is it common for them to do that, though?
Charismatic leaders charismatic leaders have depression.
Yeah. So it's common for them to kind of then say that's fine.
Right. Rule keepers aren't really allowed to have depression.
Yeah.
Well, depression really doesn't exist.
It doesn't, right. They're like, you know, because... And what does a rule keeper say to someone that's depressed?
Get over it.
Right. Get over it. And what they with themselves, they're like that. They never get to depression because it's always do anything other than sit here and do nothing, because they can't sit there and do nothing anyway. So why could I ever get depressed? They're always moving. Anxiety and, well, depression and anxiety go hand in hand. Well, anxiety and depression would be thinker enforcer. I mean, if it were like severe anxiety with severe depression, you'd have some of that going on.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
You know, you could also have thinker poor me. You know, poor me's can fall into depression as well.
Yes.
It's not quite as aggressive against the self. It's just helplessness depression. Very different than the enforcer, which is literally stabbing themselves in the third chakra. It's like, I'll kill you for being not what you were supposed to be, or being bad, or being...
So that's why you start checking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He came out as a
Yeah.
On the profile. And that's what he looks like. But I think he's an enforcer, what you just said.
Okay. So just work with those things. I mean, we've got some time in classes too, and if you have something that comes up and you can't link it, call me, email me. You know, don't email me on the group site. Email me directly and just say student question, you know, and I'll help you do that.
Well, this is really helpful, actually.
Yeah.
And this actually is really helpful.
Yeah.
Good.
So how would you describe depression in the poor me versus the charismatic leader?
Depression in the poor me is as the poor me goes into total collapse, and they can't do anything. They don't have enough energy, but they didn't really have enough energy to begin with. With the poor me, depression is complete lack of love. They just feel like there's just no love in the world, and why go on? And so they don't have the charge. The depression of an enforcer is a aggressive, violent... They're the ones who commit suicide. It's aggressive, violent, I hate myself.
Right.
Movement. And it just turns against. And so and they have this huge third chakra. It's either going this way or it's going this way.
Right.
So you have to shift them into going this way. How do you get them challenging the world? And if they're really aggressive, they have to take on a challenge. And what will happen is that when you're working with a charismatic leader who's highly depressed, they'll be depressed and depressed, and you're like, oh my God, this person's so soft and so... And then you cross them one time, and they take all that rage against themselves, and they put it right on you. And all of a sudden, they are ready to kill you.
You just described Ryan.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Right, there you go. Your ex is exactly... That's what he did. And so...
He's a team player, though.
Yeah. Well, when a charismatic leader is in their core, they appear like a team player.
Yeah.
I mean, they will protect their whole tribe. They're leading people. They're guiding. They're on a mission to save humanity. I mean, there's no more team playing than that.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, when they're in their stuff, well, I mean, he has that incredible quality, charismatic quality, to make everybody feel good about themselves.
Exactly.
And he does have a team player second.
Yeah.
You know, so he's going to lead into that from when he's in power.
Because he had the massive depression.
Right. That was he was a perfect example of sort of, you know, helpless, and then you cross him, and now all that rage against himself has somewhere to go.
Yeah.
And it's justified. And when they can justify rage, you are freaking... Yeah, I mean, that's the psychopath that kills.
Yeah.
You know, they hate themselves, and you walk in the room and go, get the fuck up, and they pull their gun out and they shoot you. It's like, yes, I get to now move it this way. But it doesn't change, so giving them a cause, asking them what is that they want to work for, what do they believe in, and encouraging them to go after that is a positive way to move that energy forward if they have depression. So asking him what does he really believe in? What are his dreams of what he can do and help with? It could just be a friendship. It could be something simple. I got a friend who's trying to do this, or he's building a house. Go help him. You know, have them lead in a helping situation, and it creates, you know, so they feel good about themselves.
Because he's a teacher at school, but he's moved up. Like he said, I keep moving up.
Right. Well, rule keepers and charismatic leaders. Well, here's another way to tell the difference between a rule keeper and a charismatic leader. Rule keepers move up, and it's great. More work, more people, more control, more. I'm loving it. The higher up I get, the better I like it. Charismatic leaders are they get up and they go. They keep giving me these goddamn raises. They keep putting me in charge of more people. I don't want to be in charge of any fucking people. You know.
Right.
Yeah, so you may be. So this is how you listen into the words and you start recognizing the charismatic leader doesn't actually want to be responsible for anybody. when they're in defense. When it's their company, when they're totally empowered, they want to be the principal. Right. Buck stops with me because, folks, nobody's going to take it like I can.
And you know? They want the paycheck and the status, but don't want to do any work.
Exactly. Exactly. They want to mail it in.
All the sales guys.
Right, sales. Yeah. They're perfect salespeople. It's like I want the biggest check, and you don't even know where I live.
When I'm calling, when I was as an enforcer most of my life, but when I was severely, severely depressed, I was suicidal. And when an enforcer is that depressed, there is no light at the end of the tunnel, and I had exactly planned. I was deciding between which two ways I was going to do it. And being a nurse, it was worse because I was forced because they were going to either lock me up, section me, or I had to go to the psychiatrist. And nobody was going to lock me up again. And I went. And she was like, I mean, she was happy she wasn't treating me. She just was giving me the drugs. But I had it where I was going to slice my jugular.
So you,
I was going to OD on Tylenol.
So you didn't feel like you wanted to die killing someone else?
No, it was all internal. I just internalized it, could not see. And I mean,
Brian, Maddie's vow is to be a team player. She wouldn't turn it against someone else.
No.
You know, a charismatic, an enforcer that has the vow to be a victim. An enforcer that feels like a poor me is more likely to kill someone else.
Yeah.
I can feel that a poor me would not have that drive and that energy to be able to.
I mean, everybody, you know, there's, you know, I'm sure every person can get to a place where they can kill themselves. But generally, when you're dealing with that, you're dealing with the charismatic leader aspect. The lower self is like, if this ain't working, I'm just going to check out. The lower self doesn't have any sort of, you know, longing for living a whole long life. It wants to have good stuff now, and if it doesn't have it, it just soon end it. You know, and so the charismatic leader is much more lower self. You know, there's a much stronger drive from the lower self. Who else have we got? Have we got any other profiles? Yeah.
I'm wondering what depression looks like in a team player.
Depression in a team player they never stop. They just... What it looks like is what you see in a team player. What you see depression in a team player, resentment, and they stop wanting to be around people. It's like screw people. I don't want any fucking people in my life. Goddamn, you know. And yet all day long they're taking care of people. I take care of you. 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 And they're like fuck them. And they get home at night and they're so tired because they're like I never get to choose anything. And then they sit there. That's depression for the... Because they can't...
Still
be very active. Right. Right. And they will only... And they would... They might kill themselves, but not until everybody that they serve is dead. Right, exactly. I can't kill myself. I got all these people to take care of.
Good, I'm okay.
So I have an interesting case.
Yes.
He's a team player, people pleaser, and he's got ALS, 9 months ago diagnosed.
Right.
And so he's like back himself into his corner because he says to me, I mean, so his language is all about, I love being with others, I feel really bad because now I can't volunteer like I used to, you know. And now he has ALS, and he's losing, his arms are starting to go. And so it's like, in a way that he's sort of, the whole system, he's backed himself into a corner in a way, because the first thing he said to me is, my wife's taking it harder than I am. Like, he's like, it's everything.
Of course, because his wife's an enforcer.
Yes, she is.
And an enforcer, or poor me. If you're married to an enforcer, or poor me. When it comes to emotion, they manage the emotion of the relationship. If you have a problem, it's bigger for me. Okay. So help. So how do you help them with that?
Well,
that's a big one.
Yeah.
If you've got a major illness and your spouse is taking the limelight, what do you do with that?
Well, I've been working on him starting to talk about his needs.
Nice.
What's going on? And it was great. The second session, he said, I'm scheduling and we're trying to find the time. And I said, it's 9 too early. He said, no, I'm here to please Eugene. What time do you want? Let's stop right there. What do you need?
Right.
I want you to take a deep breath and tell me what you need regarding my
right.
time.
But be careful. As a charismatic leader, you have 5 answers to that. A real team player will never have an answer to that.
What?
What do you need?
Right.
So you compromise with them at first. Well, it would really be good for me around 9 or 10. How does that work in your schedule? Yeah. So, because they won't actually say what their needs are because they're not allowed to.
But I'm feeling like the work with him is to get him to, in a way, start to look at his own needs.
Well, his needs, remember, if he's truly a team player, his needs are taking care of other people. So how now can he take care of people with ALS? How can he be a friend to those people where he doesn't have to use his arms for things and do just, you know, working with those, getting involved with the support groups. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a perfect thing. Team players love support groups. You know, it's like, I'm supporting everybody. Yay. And then they get in the group, they get to be seen for what's going on with them. And so they like that. So things like that, volunteering at the hospital. You know, doing anything that so the problem is that when they get sick, then it's like, well, then it has to be about me, but I don't want it to be about me. So how do you help them translate that into a great way to help people understand this? Helping people is going to heal him more.
That's good. Travel. He lives in rural Massachusetts, so there's not a lot of transportation.
Yep.
He can still drive, but I don't know when the doctor's going to take that away from him.
We have the internet. That's what I was just saying. We have the internet. You live out in Ishaboom. You get a picture of yourself on there, and you go to the websites for ALS. There's got to be huge ALS connector, you know, website information and how to connect with people and how to get support, and he could become part of that.
Yeah, he could be like a support coordinator.
Cool. So are we physical support probably.
Right.
And how do you help someone accept if he's used to always serving others?
Right.
How do you help someone accept the fact that they're going to come to a state where they have to be the one receiving help?
Well, if they
help them learn how to deal with ALS.
Right. If he's taking care of people that are in that end stage of ALS, he'll be seeing where he's going. It'll be part of the healing process for him. You know, to see that even these people that need help. You know, at some point I will need to ask for help. Now, there are illnesses like that that people take on because they're tired of helping. And the only way I'll ever get helped is if I get sick.
Yeah. So, his dad died 2 months before his diagnosis.
Right.
This huge conflict, alcoholic family system, only child, and I was wanting to ask about the only child, if there was any kind of dynamics to watch for that. He has no brothers, siblings. I think he has one uncle left. I mean, his extended family is pretty minimal.
Yeah, I mean, there's issues around only children, but if you stay with this profile, you know, so So that means that his dad was the enforcer. He had to please him. You know, and now the dad dies, and he doesn't have the right to be himself.
Mom died 15 years ago.
And he doesn't have the right, because that was, he was at least as long as his dad was alive, I could still serve that.
Right.
I could still serve the master. Now the master dies, and the servant doesn't know how to take care of themselves. So this is, you know, so the body triggers some kind of a total needing to, you know, be caretake. It's like, it goes into this, you know, what do I do now? So working with him, especially since it's early stage, you know, working with him on would you like to do, and knowing that what he'd like to do is take care of people, mm-hmm. How do you do that? And then that gives him more of his own life. So, anybody have any? Didn't we get? Anybody have any other questions on your people on anything? And we can take a break.
Wife who was taking on the emotions, you know,
always,
I guess an enforcer takes on
another
person.
And poor me is too. The emotional, the most emotional person in the family.
Defense for them, or is that something that they'll always do?
Everything we're talking about here is defense. Okay. People in core don't behave anything like any of these things. Okay. This is all defense.
Charismatic leader would not take on the emotions for a relationship.
No. Oh, God, no. Charismatic would be thrilled that their partner's having, you know,
right.
You know, something go on in their life.
No, I know, that's how I was thinking about it too.
He's getting sicker and sicker.
Can I go in the other room?
Do something about
it. Beat up people?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to take a break. Any other things before we go? Just so you can see these sheets, they are, before we go, just take a look at the back of one of the sheets. And notice that there are activities to do with your people. Okay? Exercises. So people pleaser. Have them stand their ground and stamp their feet. Feel the ground and their anger and say no. You know, teach them to say no. You know, before they can really say yes to their life, they have to say no. So this gives you activities you can do with them outside of the table. Okay? And these activities will prepare them to get on the table and then have something to talk about afterward. Yes?
Are we not allowed to, like, do EFT and other things, you know, just stick to the healings and the chakra reading?
When you do the healing, all I ask you to do when you're doing the healing is do it as we talk about the healing, as prescribed.
Okay.
If you want to do some EFT with them beforehand, mm-hmm. or if something comes up on the table and you use EFT afterward, or if you want to do some of this bioenergetics, or you want to anchor them, you know, I mean, what I'm going to have you do today is whenever you get off the table and you're in this awesome state of having a great healing, anchor your awesome feeling place. It's like you want to have a peaceful moment. Well, there it is. Your body's totally in balance. Anchor that. Start anchoring your great feelings. So when they come off the table, say, I want you to really anchor that. And then have them anchor it. Teach them to anchor it. Because, I mean, you can anchor it. What Tony Robbins does is he gets people in state, and then he'll go, think about that. And then he'll go, and then bring that in, and he'll do this. And then he'll say, okay, now think about this terrible, you know, your father dying or whatever. And they start going, and he does this, and they'll go, oh, God, all of a sudden I'm not having a problem with that. So he'll anchor them, but really it's better to do it yourself. It's like self-hypnosis. It's a form of self-hypnosis. Okay, let's take a quick break.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Could you ask Liz to put all the healings online, paper-wise, and the shock?
the written, the write-ups too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the music. Because the first couple of years we got music that had no.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to do a whole library of all of them and a page that you can go to, download all the healings.
And if you don't have a CD label,
yes. You know what? The healing CDs are specifically for that healing. But you can use anyone on any healing. Okay? None of them are going
to
hurt you. Yes, totally. Well, yesterday I didn't have the healing CDs for. Well, you had your healing, but over there they didn't. I just played the Reiki healing. It was fine. It supports. It's a very supporting element. The healings specific, you know, the specific ones help even more. It's more. It helps that energy more directly. But any bowls in the background are fine.
And this client's second healing has had such a response to it. He asked if he could have a copy.
Yes. Okay. Everybody, you can give your client a copy of your CDs or whatever if you want. But you want to also let them know if they really want to work with the bowls, go to my website and they can download, you know, find their tone. They can do, you know, if you help them find their tone, then go and pick it up on the website. So,
thank you.
All right.